This is DW News live from Berlin. Germany could get a new government and leader in just a few days. Olaf Scholz looks set to become chancellor next week if his Social Democrats give their backing to a coalition agreement with two smaller parties. Also coming up, a warning from the White House. U.S. President Joe Biden tells Russia there will be a tough response if it invades Ukraine. Ukrainian forces say they're ready to drive back any Russian threat. And a presidential election puts Gambia's democracy to the test. For the first time in decades, a dictator isn't on the ballot. We'll talk to our correspondent in Banjul. I'm Nick Spicer. Welcome to the program. Germany looks set to have a new government 2 months after September's general election. The center-left Social Democratic Party is holding a conference where it's due to vote on the coalition deal its leaders brokered with the environmentalist Green Party and the business-friendly Free Democrats. At the Congress, the SPD's Olaf Scholz thanked the delegates for the party's election success. If the Social Democrats and the other two parties all back the deal, Scholz will become Germany's next chancellor. He could be sworn in as early as next Wednesday, replacing Angela Merkel after 16 years in office. And DW correspondent Nina Hazza is at that crucial SPD party congress. Hi, Nina. Germany's likely next chancellor, Olaf Scholz, has been addressing his party members. You've been listening in. What's his message?
Well, Olaf Scholz, of course, appealed to the 600-plus party delegates to give him the approval for the coalition treaty that the party has negotiated with the Greens and the FDP. He needs that approval for the government to actually take shape. The other parties also need to give their approval. But if that happens, then we'll see a new government as early as next week. Olaf Scholz also congratulated the SPD, Germany's oldest party, on the unity that it has shown over the past 2 years, something that is not a given in this party that saw a lot of infighting for a long period. And then he said that he sees himself in the tradition of the SPD chancellors from the 1970s, Willy Brandt and Helmut Schmidt, who he said actually seized the opportunity for proper renewal of the country, and that is something that he intends to do as well. He's already saying that he wants to be re-elected in 4 years' time. And then, of course, he laid out his priorities for the next period of a government. The two biggest priorities are fighting climate change and fighting the COVID pandemic. Let's listen to what he had to say.
This is not about us. It's about the citizens of this country. It's also about huge challenges, some on a global scale if we consider human-made climate change. But let me also say this. The first and most important challenge we need to tackle is one that has been uniting us for almost 2 years, a task that we all face together. And that is protecting the health of our citizens, keeping the country together, combating the coronavirus pandemic with all of our strength. And that is also our first task.
So, Nina, if all goes according to plan today, Scholz will be sworn in next Wednesday, possibly taking over from Angela Merkel. Can we expect big changes in the way Germany is governed, do you think?
Well, first of all, the FDP also have to vote on the coalition deal to make it sort of a done deal so that the new government can be sworn in. And Olaf Scholz, if he becomes chancellor, you have to keep in mind that he has been Angela Merkel's deputy and her finance minister for the past 3.5 years. So the two of them have worked together extremely closely. Olaf Scholz has had a lot of opportunity to watch Angela Merkel, to learn from her successes, but also from her mistakes. He also, many people are saying, won the election because he presented himself as the most Merkel-esque of all the candidates. He exudes this aura of stability maker that many German voters apparently liked, which is why they gave him their vote. So there are a lot of similarities, but then you also have to keep in mind that a German chancellor can't rule like presidents in other countries can, sort of on their own and push through their own agendas. Here in Germany, the chancellor is very much dependent on the support support of its party, of their parties, and the SPD is, of course, a very different party from the Conservatives. So we will definitely see some differences here in policy making because of the different profile that the SPD have.
All right, DW correspondent Nina Haza, thanks so much. And with no sign of the fourth coronavirus wave slowing here in Germany, regional governments have begun implementing tough new measures. Unvaccinated people will be barred from all but essential shops and services. But with fewer than 70% of people fully vaccinated, authorities are also stepping up efforts to get jabs into people's arms. One region, south of Berlin, is taking the vaccination drive on the road.
First things first for Peter Kaitzke. Put the vaccine in the fridge.
So, 4,2 Grad, super.
Connect the computer and mentally prepare for another tough day.
The hardest thing is that we have so many people lining up, it's almost impossible to process all of them. It was different 4 weeks ago.
Former paramedic Peter Kaitzke is in charge of this vaccination bus. It tours rural areas an hour south of Berlin. Here in Lübbenau, hundreds of people are waiting. Across the country, doctors are struggling with the sudden surge in new patients in the midst of Germany's fourth COVID wave. This group of people had to be turned away yesterday.
We will try our best to serve as many people as we can. And today, you're up first.
The bus has more than enough vaccine on board, but not enough staff to administer jabs. More people have shown up than they can deal with in a day. Kaitzke has to turn people away again.
This bus is only additional to normal vaccination offers. They can't handle this many people.
And people are angry.
We're being taken for fools. I arrive here only to be told, no, we're not going to vaccinate you after all. It's ridiculous. This is just not professional. You're acting like amateurs.
Yep, that's the way it is.
I'm a cancer patient. I can only be vaccinated in the week between chemotherapy. That would be now.
We'll see what we can do. Quite a few people will still get their turn. We will still take you, but we have to make a cut here. I'm very sorry.
The process doesn't just involve a jab. Every patient must have their data electronically registered and get briefed by a doctor. It's a time-consuming process, but most people are glad to get it over with.
It's my first vaccination, but I did it, and now everything's good.
Peter Kaitzke is happy about every new patient he can vaccinate. He knows it's key to getting the pandemic under control.
Let's take a look now at some of the other stories making news around the world. Pope Francis has arrived in Greece for the first papal visit in two decades. He is seeking to improve relations with the Orthodox Church and also to highlight the plight of the thousands of refugees and asylum seekers in the country. A vigil has been held for the victims of the school shooting in the U.S. state of Michigan. A teenager went on a gun rampage there on Tuesday, killing four students. The suspect's parents have been arrested on manslaughter charges. They are accused of ignoring warning signs before the shooting. Seattle in the U.S. Pacific Northwest is famous for its soggy weather. But from September through November, the city saw some 50 centimeters of rain, breaking the previous record from 2006. The same region experienced record heat over the summer. American President Joe Biden says he's working to prevent Russia from invading Ukraine. There are fears of a border standoff that could escalate between the two nations. The U.S. has threatened Russia with the toughest sanctions yet if it does launch an attack.
Ukrainian soldiers preparing for the worst as they hunch in the trenches along the border. They are ready to fight to protect their country from an assault by Russian forces.
Yes, I think all our guys will hold them back. We will do it. This is our job. This is our land, and we will protect it till the end.
Tensions between the two neighbors have been rising for months. Ukraine says Russia has massed nearly 100,000 troops on the frontier and it's worried.
Our intelligence service analyzed all scenarios, including the worst ones. There is a probability of a large-scale escalation on the part of Russia, most probably at the end of January.
In an attempt to defuse the tension, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has been meeting Russia's foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov. U.S. President Joe Biden is also drawing up an action plan to limit Moscow's room for maneuver.
What I am doing is putting together what I believe to be will be the most comprehensive and meaningful set of initiatives to make it very, very difficult for Mr. Putin to go ahead and do what people are worried he may do.
Russia seized Crimea from Ukraine in 2014 and has since backed separatists fighting Kiev in eastern Ukraine. The conflict has killed more than 13,000. Russia denies it's planning an attack, but for these Ukrainian soldiers, the threat feels all too real.
Polls have opened in Gambia for the first presidential election in 27 years without former dictator Yahya Jammeh participating. The election is seen as a test for the country's burgeoning democracy, in part because there are concerns over the influence of the former strongman. Around 1 million people are registered to take part. Voters make their choice by casting a marble in their candidate's preferred candidate's drum. They have 6 names to choose from, 5 from political parties, and 1 independent contender. And for more on this, we can speak to our West Africa correspondent, Fred Mvunyi, who is in the Gambian capital, Banjul. Fred, how significant is this election for Gambia?
Yeah, definitely. This election is very significant for Gambians, but not only Gambians, the whole West Africa. They are watching this unfolding there, because last time, 5 years ago, when they had election like this one, the president at that time, dictator Yahya Jammeh, refused to leave power until the West African countries sent in forces so that they can remove him from power. And then President Adama Barrow at that time had a chance to take over power. So this time around, as you mentioned, there are 6 candidates who are competing, including the incumbent President Adama Barrow. They have been campaigning over transitional justice, over the economy, because the economy in this country is really, really poor. And every candidate has been trying to sell their program, saying that they are going to improve the economy of the country, especially creating jobs for young people.
President Adama Barrow is seeking a second term in office. Has he been able to change a lot in his first 5 years, and is he likely to be reelected?
Well, that, of course, remains to be seen how they are going to vote. We will know definitely by tomorrow whether presidents that you see, actually, I don't know if you are able to see from behind, but he's, some of his supporters said that he achieved a lot. He brought back free speech and people can express themselves. But, of course, his critics say that he's probably the worst ever president they have ever had, the most incompetent president. But then that remains to be seen tomorrow, if he's going to be re-elected or if one of his competitors, Hussein Dabo, is going to win this election. Like most people are actually predicting that the opposition leader is going to win this.
Okay, DW's West Africa correspondent Fred Mvunyi, thanks for that. Time for sports now, and in the Bundesliga, Union Berlin secured a 2-1 win over Leipzig on a freezing night in the German capital. Defender Timo Baumgartl netted the winning goal for the Berliners. He tapped in from close range after the ball bounced his way from a corner kick. You're watching DW News. A quick reminder of the top story we're following for you. Germany looks like it will have a new chancellor next week. In the last few minutes, Olaf Scholz's Social Democrats gave their backing to a coalition agreement with 2 smaller parties, which must also approve the deal. Scholz could be sworn in as soon as Wednesday, replacing Angela Merkel after 16 years. You're watching DW News live from Berlin. I'm Nick Spicer. Thanks for watching.